Right, I believe God's got a message for us. When life doesn't make sense, who can put up their hand and say, I've experienced something like that? I think virtually the whole church. Who's experiencing something like that right now? Amen. Seriously, only one or two or three of you. Ek moet 'n ander woord kry vir vanoggend. I need to preach something else then. Okay, I believe that God has got a message for us. I know it because the very first song that the worship team sang in preparation for the service, and I'd like you guys to end the service with that very first song. Is that new one? Yeah. It spoke about this. And then the first praise song we sang spoke about it as well. So I knew that the Lord has spoken to me, and I battled this week. I thought, Lord, what am I preaching? Even by Thursday night, I was still battling about what I would preach about. And if you know me, I need to know by Monday or Tuesday, or otherwise I start to panic because I like to plan. But this is what the Lord gave me. One morning last week, I read a scripture, and it's led to this this message about when life doesn't make sense. We all face circumstances like that, when life doesn't make sense, when something happens, and we say, but Lord, I've been serving you. I'm a Christian. I tithe. I love you. I pray. I spend time with you. I do what I can to walk in obedience to your word. And then something hits us from the side, and it comes unexpected, and it doesn't make sense. Because in our view of Christianity and our view of life, we say, but God, how can this be taking place? How can this be taking place when you know I love you? When I'm your child and you know I'm serving you with all of my heart? How could you let this happen, Lord? Has anybody experienced that? I can tell you right now, if we look around, things happen. We look at our country, we say, Lord, but we had the, what was the day, 28th of April? 22nd of April. We prayed for our country. Why is it all happening? I can tell you, everything that's been exposed has started becoming exposed since the 22nd of April. God heard us. People have got sick. We lost Monet earlier on this year. Why did that have to happen? Why does my daughter have to go through this sense of loss? Why does my wife have, why do I have to go through it? Sometimes life does not make sense. There's people sitting here that got retrenched. Good people. And now they're financially struggling. Why? I don't understand. So that is what I want to speak about this morning. When life doesn't make sense, and it comes from Habakkuk, living by faith in confusing times, are we willing to trust God even though our circumstances do not make sense? They cause great anxiety, not knowing what you're going to earn next month, and you know you've got bills to pay. Prophet Habakkuk faced a situation like that. And he questioned God. Who's ever questioned God? You know, I've battled to question God, but I sometimes say, Lord, I don't understand. Help me to understand. But as he did that, and as you read, and it's a short book, we start to realize that God is in control. And the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 is the most amazing prayer. And you know, it's one of the few prophetic chapters that is actually written to music. In other words, what it tells me, it's a praise. It's a worshiping chapter. So now you need to sit up and take notice because the Lord's got a word for you this morning. Oh, that was the other thing, and I'm going to tell you now while I'm remembering. I want to declare a fast in a week's time. So the week leading up to the conference, I want to ask you to fast. You don't have to fast the whole week. You can fast a day or 2 days. You can do a Daniel fast for the week. But I want to ask you to spend time fasting. Fasting means I make my body hungry because my spirit needs to be fed. Amen. Fasting will not change God. It will change you. And if we're going to be hungry for God, then we need to spend time fasting. Fasting is not my best thing, I'll tell you. I'm not very good at fasting. But it's something we need to do. It's something Jesus spoke about, and it's something we need to do. All right, so let's go and have a look at this book of Habakkuk and what Habakkuk learned about when life doesn't make sense. Have you got your Bibles here? I'd like you to open your Bibles in Habakkuk chapter 1, if you can find it. If you can't find it, just go to the index. It's a very short little book and it's hidden. If you get to Haggai, you just a few pages later, you'll find Habakkuk. Between Haggai and the New Testament. Habakkuk chapter 1. I can see people on their phones and I know they're going to find it, but I can't hear Bibles turning. Come on, folk. Let's use our Bibles. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. And it's from the New Living Translation. How long, this is him questioning God. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Now listen to this. This is a description of South Africa. Okay? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. He must have been living here. He must have been in a time capsule. Hey? Time travel is possible. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Doesn't that sound like the land we live in today? Can I hear an amen? And Habakkuk was saying, oh, how long, oh Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. Sure, Habakkuk faced some real troubles. And we face some real troubles in our time. And let me tell you, it's not just political or social troubles we face. We face individual challenges and problems in our own lives, which we need to address. If we keep on reading to chapter 2, verse 20, we see a number of complaints and questions by the prophet and answers from God. Habakkuk asks this question, Lord, why aren't you listening? Why is all this evil around? I've kind of paraphrased it. And why don't you do anything about it? He's saying to God in his first set of questions, God, look at this situation. Why are you doing so little about it? And then we read a little bit further, and because God answers him. God says, I am doing something about it. I'm raising up the Chaldean army, and they're going to come and deal with this wicked nation. Who was the wicked nation? It was Habakkuk's nation. Lord, I've asked you to help me, and now you're going to come in, and you're going to have our people killed. So his second question is this, Lord, how can you use a more wicked nation to punish a less wicked nation? He says, Lord, why are you doing so much? So his first question is, Lord, why aren't you doing enough? Then God says, well, I'm going to move. Then he says, but God, that's too much. You see, we try and put God in our own little box. We say, Lord, we want you to help, but come and help on our terms. Amen? Yeah, we want to serve the Lord on our own terms. Do as we please, live as we please. And then we're in trouble. We say, Lord, why aren't you helping me? Amen. But with God, there's consequences because he's a just God. Anyway. Habakkuk was confused. He started off confused and he was questioning. And you know what happened? At the end of chapter 2, he was still confused and questioning. He was still confused and questioning. What questions have you been asking God, church? What have you been saying? God, I don't understand. Why do I have to deal with this? Why am I going through this? Why don't I have money? Why am I sick? Why am I losing my loved one? Why am I battling with depression? Why am I hooked on alcohol or drugs or pornography? I don't want to be. Why? What is it in your life today that doesn't make sense? God's got an answer for you, church. This is the simplest of simplest sermons, I can tell you. If you can take hold of the three things that are a summary of this message this morning, you will get a victory like you've never known. God has got the answer. The Lord answers, explaining that both nations are about to be judged and punished. And they will be judged and punished appropriately for their evil acts. The answer that Habakkuk needed laid in these two verses. Habakkuk 1 verse 5. If you've got your Bible, just turn there. Read it with me. The Lord replied, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I'm doing something in your own day something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. So the first thing God said to Habakkuk was, look around, I'm going to do something. I'm doing something so amazing, you wouldn't even believe it if they told you what I'm going to do. Right. Then in Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 2 to 4, he says this, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets, so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Write down what I'm saying, because others also need to hear this. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous shall live by their faithfulness to God. Or in another translation, if you've got the New King James Version, it says, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So what can we learn from these two answers that God gives him? The first is, the Lord replied to Habakkuk. When we pray, when we've got a problem, when we're facing a situation that we don't understand, when we're going through a difficult situation, when we pray, we can expect God to answer us. Because God answers Habakkuk. He's a God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he answered Habakkuk, he will answer you. Even if you've been questioning. Even if you've been saying, why, God? Can I hear an amen? Know today that God is not simply sitting in heaven, listening to your complaint, looking and saying, ha, ha, like somebody else we know. Ho, ho, ho. He, whatever. God is not like that. Amen. He's sitting on the throne. Yes, he's on control. But he's listening and he's doing something about it. That's the first thing you need to know. Then he says, look and be amazed. I'm doing something in your own day. You think God won't do it in your day. He's going to do it while you yet live. He's going to do it in your time frame. Somewhere in your own day. I'm going to do something so amazing. I'm going to do it. That's his promise. It's going to take place while you're still alive. But then he says, if you knew, you want me to tell you everything, but if you knew what I'm going to do, you wouldn't even believe it. Why? Because God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So if we found out what God was going to do, think about this. If God had told King Saul that he's going to kill Goliath using David and his sling, do you think King Saul would have believed him? No, he was, are you crazy? But God moved in an amazing way, and it brought an amazing result. They got great victory. Just know this. If God were to tell you everything he's about to do, you'll sit down and say, oh, I don't believe it. So let him be God and let him get on and do what he's going to do. He's got a plan. And then the third thing is, even though he said, I will do it in your lifetime, he also said this, the vision is for a future time. We expect God to, now. We want to go to McDonald's. We want to go to the speaker. We're going to say, God, I want a double cheeseburger and fry. God, I want to be healed. I want my family made well. And I want money in my bank account. And I want it by the time I get to there, by the time I'm going to give my tithing. Amen. But God isn't a McDonald's God. He's God. He's got his own time. He says, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. Amen. So God has got his own time. Remember, God is not managed by time. He covers time. He's alive in the past, the present, and the future. That's God. It's hard to understand. It's hard to perceive it. But God is God. But I want to remind you something. And it's something I preached on before. Remember, I preached a message called The Moment I Pray. Psalm 138, verse 3. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Do you see, God hears us the moment we pray. He didn't say, the moment I pray, I will sort the problem out. He says, I will give you strength. I will give you strength. I will give you strength in the midst of your problem. I will give you strength to last through this problem until it is time for me to move. That's what God said. But he said, I will move, and I will move in your time. Have you got faith to trust God to move in your time? Have you got patience, church? That's the problem. Amen. At least you're honest, Betsy. Are you willing to wait for God? He said, I will give you strength. Are you willing to wait in my strength until I decide to move? That's what he's challenging you with this morning. Be patient. Even if he's too slow. God, look at all this chamos in South Africa. When are you going to do? When? Oh, I don't want to get political here. When are they going to remove this country that is owned, this family that is owned and caused so much problems in this? It's affected every single person from every political party and from every class group. Whether you're poor or whether you're rich, you've been impacted either in the amount of tax you pay or in the government's ability to deliver services. So it goes across the spectrum. It's affected black people and white people and coloreds and Indians. Amen. Lord, when are you going to do something about it? Can't you see it? God says, in my time. When I move, I'm going to move. And lo and behold, when you're on the receiving hand of God's wrath. Amen. So please don't say I'm being political. I'm not being political. I'm using it as an example. All right? We as Christians need to raise this, lift our heads up. We need to be indignant and we need to go to God and say, God, how can this be happening? Amen. Right, then, the fifth thing. What will we do in the meantime? Okay, God, I know you've answered, I know you're going to help me, but what shall I do in the meantime? Because actually I'm facing this problem that I don't understand, and it's not nice. Who likes problems? Come on, give me a show of hands. What's wrong with you guys? Are you tired on? Nobody likes problems, amen. Nobody likes problems. So what will we do while we're waiting for God? Well, the answer is there too. Have you still got your Bible? I want you to see the answers are in God's Word. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. It says this, and I've read it already. The proud, in brackets the sinners, because Satan is the father of pride. Right? So people who are full of pride are reflecting his character, not the character of Christ. Remember that when we have an altar call and you know you're supposed to come forward and you sit there because you're too proud to come forward. Ooh, pastor, who can you not say? But it's the truth, church. Even the pastor needs to sometimes come to the altar. Amen. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The proud will suffer as they try to find answers to their problems in their own strength. Let's just stop there. While I'm waiting on God, am I going to go and try and sort the problem out in my own strength? Isn't that exactly what we do? Come on, church. We run to this one, we run to that one. We tell everybody how big our problem is. We go and borrow money from a money lender and we have to pay back more interest than the money we borrowed. Okay, I say we, but I praise the Lord that I haven't had to do that before. But we go and try and solve our problems ourselves. God says that is the way of the proud. The wicked, the sinner. Ena. Come on. Who hasn't tried to sort out their problems themselves? Okay, let me say. Who has tried to sort out their problems themselves? I'll somehow put up both my hands. Amen. But it carries on and says, but the just, the righteous, those who trust in God shall live by faith. What will I do in the meantime? I will live by faith. I will have faith. What is the definition of faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I am going to have hope. I'm going to look forward and trust God. And this is what happened. Because this is chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Habakkuk. All of a sudden, he starts with chapter 3 and look at what he says. He says this. I want to ask you a question, church. Are you living by faith? The just shall live by faith. If you're not living by faith, maybe you're not the just. Come on, say amen. Because the just, the righteous, those who trust in God, will live by faith. Amen. It's a good show of whether we got faith, whether we're Christians. The great change of heart. I've titled this section of the message, The Great Change of Heart. Something took place in Habakkuk's life between chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I think it's as a result of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which God said to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. He was saying, Habakkuk, have some faith, my boy. That's what he was saying. Christian Heritage, have some faith. That's what God is saying to you this morning. Have some faith. Look at this extract from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. I've heard all about you, Lord. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. Was it the same prophet? First of all, he said, Lord, why aren't you moving? Where are you? Why are you not? He says, Lord. He says, yeah, I've heard about you. I'm filled at awe with you. In this, doesn't his attitude, the whole, even the wording, in this time of our deepening, he's not saying, look at this chamos, Lord. He says, Lord, we need you. In this time of, can you see the change in heart? All of a sudden, from an arrogant and a proud and a demanding person, which you and I are, he's turned around and he's become surrendered to the Lord. He's become humble. Look at me, Lord, in my deep time of need. And in your anger, Lord, you've got reason to be angry. And he was asking for the Lord to judge the nations. And all of a sudden he says, Lord, in your anger, remember your mercy. Lord, if I've done something wrong, I thank you that I have grace. I thank you that you're good and a gracious God. I praise you. Lord, have mercy on me in my circumstances. It doesn't sound like the same person. Habakkuk 3 verse 17. This is the key verse in the whole book of Habakkuk. And verse 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. What a change of heart. Amen. What a change of heart. Lord, chaos. No. Lord, I can see the chaos. Lord, I can see the prostitutes up here on Leopard Street. I can see my empty bank balance. I can feel the sickness in my body. I can feel the pain in my heart because of the problems in my family. I've been hurt. I don't care, Lord. Even if it is like that, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I will not only trust you, Lord, I'll rejoice in you. Isn't that the toughest thing? Rejoicing in God in the midst of your trial? Can I hear an amen? That's when we bring a sacrifice of praise. It takes sacrifice to praise God sometimes. But God will be blessed by it. Even when my wheels are falling off, even when I don't have food, even when I'm poor, even when I'm hungry, Lord, I will trust in you. Even when my foot is up and in a moon boot and I feel the pain, I will trust in you. I will rejoice in you. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. Amen. Say this with me. Say, devil, you won't steal my joy. Say it again. Devil, you won't steal my joy. I will trust in my God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a change in attitude. What a change in attitude. When we face confusing situations that we don't understand, and troubles and trials, God is telling us, church, trust me. I've got it under control. Live by faith. And while you're living by faith, be faithful. Serve me faithfully. Who said I'm not going to go to church next week? God hasn't answered me. Who said I don't feel like coming to church? God's not listening to my prayers in any case. Come on, church, let's be real. Yeah, thank you for showing your hand. You're right, you're being honest. We are human beings. How did Habakkuk go from questioning to faith? How did he go from the place of saying, why, to the place of saying, okay, Lord, you told me to live by faith, now I'll live by faith. Habakkuk 3 verse 2. I've heard all about you, Lord, and I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. in this time of our deep need. Help us again. Did you hear that? Help us again, as you did in years gone by. Habakkuk took a look back. We like to quote with what Paul said. He said, forgetting what is behind, I strive to that which lays behind. Sometimes we need to look back. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of what God has already done in our lives, of what we've already been through, and how God undertook time and time and time again. If you are sitting here today and you are drawing breath, that means God has given you life and He's been with you. And He's helped you through sickness in the past, and He's helped you through financial problems in the past, and He's helped you through family issues in the past, and He's been there for you one way or another in the past. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So the first key, Habakkuk had a look back, and he reminded himself of the fact that God moved. Amen. This morning, if you don't understand your circumstances, take a look back and see what God has already brought you through. Let it build up faith. And then he said something else. He said something else. In verse 18 to 19, 3 verse 18, the Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, this comes from the Amplified, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places, the places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. He didn't just look back. He looked back, he found faith for today, and then he spoke to the future. He said, the Lord will help me. He will help me. He will help me. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He helped you yesterday, He's busy helping you today, and He will help you in the future. Habakkuk looked backwards and built up his faith. He looked forward and it gave him hope. So I want to challenge you this morning, church. Combine your faith from what you've already experienced from God to what you know lies before you. Combine your faith with hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things, that means they come in the future. Two things. Okay, I see there's 3 points in the sermon. 3 points. Number one is, we live by faith, not by sight. Okay? The just shall live by faith. That's number one. Number two, how do I build my faith? I look back and I see where God has taken me from. Number three, I take the faith that I've just stirred my spirit up with and I use it to gain hope for the future. Three simple things. Now, can you apply that in your life? Can you apply that to your circumstances right now? So you've got a bad report from the doctor. You know you've seen people healed. I know I've seen people healed. I'll tell you a little story. It's funny, Anthony. He's been working here. He's been helping us with us next door. And he's been sick a couple of times. And God just seems to love to heal Anthony. So a while ago, a few weeks ago, Anthony had laryngitis. And he was talking like this. And as his voice came back, he was talking like this. He was very crappy. It sounded like he was cross. And I said, come on, Anthony, we're going to pray for you. And I prayed for Anthony. Sorry. And I prayed for Anthony, who was talking like this. And we stopped praying, and he spoke to me like this. Just like that. Just like that. Amen. And there's other things God's done. We've seen it. As we've prayed for people here, we saw his leg grow. Say amen. Anthony, you're the only person who's got faith here. No. What I'm saying is we can look back and we can take faith for our healing. We can apply it to the pain we feel in our body today. And we say, even though, Lord, even though the fig tree does not have figs on it, or there be no grapes on it, even though I don't feel my healing today, even though I don't see the money in my bank account today, even though I'm battling with depression today, I've got hope for tomorrow. Because God, I know that I'm on a journey with you and I can trust you. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. How simple is that? How simple is that? And then as I said earlier, that final chapter of Habakkuk was written to music. Was written to music. It was very unusual. The Psalms, a lot of them were written to music. David was a praiser. But the prophets were prophets. Okay, they'd call a prophet to come, a musician to come and play while they prophesied, okay? He wrote that final chapter to music. And then he said these words, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God is encouraging you in the midst of your circumstances to have joy. Think of Paul and Silas in prison. Amen. I will praise you, Lord, in the midst of my circumstances. So I wrap up this message saying this. We may not understand our circumstances or what we're going through, but we need to have faith in God. We need to take a look back so we can get some faith, and we need to take a look forward and have some hope. We need to live today and say, the just shall live by faith regardless of what we're going through. We may not always understand, but we need to realize that God has got a plan for us. That came through in the prophetic word as well this morning. God's got a plan. We may not see the answer now, but God said, be patient. It'll come in your lifetime. He will give us the answer. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. That speaks about you being alive in your final outcome. And of course, our final outcome is eternity with Christ. And then Philippians 4:4, who can tell me what it says? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Amen. We need to rejoice. If anybody in the Bible, aside from Job, faced hardships and troubles and trials, it was Paul. He was beaten, he was stoned, he was killed. The disciples gathered around him, the people, and he stood up. He eventually was martyred. He was thrown in jail. Rats ate his toes. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, get away, you rat. And again, I said, rejoice. And we thought we shout in church just because we shout. No, you're kicking the rats away. I'm just joking. Let's stand together this morning. Was that a blessing, church? It blessed me. Amen.